Good morning, everyone. As we know, today is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga. I'd like to share with you an incredible experience, as well as some incredible insights that Hashem sent me into some beautiful Torahs. And this should be for the Aliyah of the Neshama of Rabbeinu Nachman ben Simcha, Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga, Bezrat Hashem. So, about 3 years ago, I was privileged to become involved in Rabbi Nachman's Torahs and Derech, and I became a Talmid of Rabbi Nachman. And I was privileged both last year as well as the year before to be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah. As we know, one of the perhaps the most core fundamental principle that Rabbi Nachman laid out for us is to be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah, in addition to many other things, but that was really, and that is a tremendous pillar. And I was privileged to go there both last year as well as the year before, and the experience was absolutely incredible. However, this year, I had the most incredible experience that I'd like to share with you. I was zoche, I was privileged to make it to Uman in a way that I could have never have dreamed to make it before. On a completely different level, in so many ways. I'd like to share with you the Torah, and then I'll explain a little bit more. Somebody shared with me, and I found it inside now, Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Prit Tzadik, the end of Parshas Vayera. He says a beautiful piece here. He says, you know, Avraham Avinu, if we know anything or anyone who did Hachnasas Orchim, there's nobody more than Avraham Avinu. The way he did Hachnasas Orchim, the way he looked and the way he looked after and cared about people, the way he cared about teaching people and inspiring people about Hashem. And when this is referred, you know, when the Torah records these happenings in the Torah, it records it with a three-letter word. It says Vayita Eshel, and he planted an Eshel. And you can look at Rashi there, he explains it's almost an acronym for what he did. But it very, very briefly writes down what he did, all that tremendous, tremendous, tremendous work, which is a little bit, which is contrary to the way we would have expected. However, when we come to the episode of where Avraham Avinu feeds the angels, you know, he just has his bris milah, and he wants to go do Hachnasas Orchim. The Torah, if you go look there at the end of Parshas Vayera, it recounts everything at length, what he gave them and how, and his preparations. And Rav Tzadok asks why it should be the other way around. You know, we know that the angels don't need the food. We know that they didn't really eat the food. You know, they just did it because of the Derech Eretz to be like everybody else, but they didn't really need it. And at the same time, they certainly didn't need any inspiration about getting close to Hashem. They're angels. They know what Hashem is. They know who Hashem is. So why is the Torah recounting the seemingly insignificant act of Avraham Avinu, which didn't really make a difference? He gave them food, they didn't need the food. He gives them inspiration, they didn't need the inspiration. The Torah recounts this at length. And when it comes to Avraham Avinu, real Hachnasas Orchim, his real Hachnasas Orchim that people really needed, and the real inspiration that he gave them, there just briefly describes that. And he gives such a beautiful answer, which is such a fundamental Yesoid to Yiddishkeit. He says, you know, the pasuk says, "Ki karav alecha davar meod beficha uvilvavcha," and it doesn't say uvemasecha. It says la'asoy soy, meaning we have to serve Hashem in our heart, with our mouths and in our hearts. But when it comes to the actual action, the actual results, it doesn't say over Maasech, it's not in our capacity to control the results. It's got nothing to do with us. That's Hashem's part. And because Avraham Avinu, he was so excited. Of course he was excited to do Hachnasas Orchim and help people and inspire people. But you can't compare the excitement that he had for that to the excitement that he had when he was sick and in pain and he wasn't able to do Hachnasas Orchim, and suddenly he saw three, what he thought, people in the streets, and he goes and he gives them food and he does preparations, and he was so excited with such a passion that even though the end result was in a sense meaningless because they didn't need the food and they didn't need the inspiration, The Torah goes at length and records what he did, because it's not about the result. It's about the passion. It's about the one's effort. In his words, Haikar hu haratzon. The ikar is one's desire. The main thing is one's desire. One never knows why certain things happen and why certain things don't happen. And I'd like to divert to a little piece in Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan writes in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Shiluach Haken, Ois Hei, a beautiful, beautiful, also underlying his soul to all of Yiddishkeit. Ze klal, I'm quoting from another sefer, Oitz Harayira, Ze klal gadol ba'avoidas Hashem, she'tzrichin leida, she'ein yoidin klal. This is an underlying principle to all of Judaism, that we have to know that we do not know anything. We know the Midrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah and the Jewish people are all one. And he goes on to explain that just like we have no concept of what Hashem is, we also have no concept of what the Torah is. Of course we know what we have to do and what we don't have to do in terms of direct mitzvahs, but we don't understand by any means the most basic, deeper meanings of what we're doing in the Torah. And in the same vein, we don't understand Am Yisrael. We don't understand what any Jew, he says, the lowest of the low of the Jews, of a Jew. We don't understand how high and how holy and how great his tafkid and his role being in this world is. We have no concept of that. We don't know what someone is here to do, what someone is here to be metaken, what someone is here to fix. We have no concept of the whole entire picture. And this is such a beautiful, fundamental, underlying principle we have to know in everything that we do. Of course, we know that we have to follow halacha, and that Hashem has given us in his kindness, as Rabbi Nosson speaks out. He told us what we have to do and what we don't have to do. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. At the same time, we have to know that we don't understand anything. And we always have to try our best. As Rabbi Nachman brings out, a person mustn't pay much attention to the famous Talmudic dictum, Oynes Rachmana Patre. It says, you know, sometimes things are beyond our control. We must assume that we can do anything. We can do anything. And if it's not happening, it's not working, we daven and we work harder and we make it happen. We make it happen. At the end of the day, Rabbi Nachman says, if it's really begeder, Oynes Rachmana Patre, a person did everything they could and they now arrive at a place that they didn't achieve what they were hoping to achieve. Now they let go and they realize, okay, I did my bit, and that's what Hashem decided. Of course, as we're saying, initially a person's got to do everything. There's no such thing as, no, it's too difficult, Hashem doesn't want me to do this. You know, it's exactly what Rabbi Nachman says. By every mitzvah, and I'm highlighting, especially by coming to Rabbi Nachman and Rosh Hashanah, that there's going to be manias, there's going to be so many things that try, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is going to try prevent us in many different ways and on many different levels. We have to try push through and not pay attention and just not pay attention to those things. You know, Avraham Avinu on the way to sacrifice his son, there comes the river, there comes the Satan in another form. The Satan came as an old man, then as a young man, different things. Avraham Avinu said, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to anything. I'm just going to go do the mitzvah Hashem. And we always have to do that. Now, at the end of the day, when a person did everything and they didn't get to achieve that mitzvah, for whatever reason, one has to realize, again, that Ein Yoidin Klal, we do not know anything. We do not know why the whole picture. And Hashem, after everything said and done, if we did everything we could, he didn't want us to do that mitzvah. That wasn't our tafkid. We were meant to do something else in the whole big picture and the whole big puzzle. And again, to realize, as Rav Tzadok says as we started off, that it's not about the result. It's got nothing to do with the result. And that's why Avraham Avinu, even though he didn't really get any results by feeding the angels, that is what is recounted, because his passion and his ratzon was so hard for that. And I take this opportunity on the yahrzeit of Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga, my Rebbe, to say thank you to Hashem, Hoidu l'Adonai ki tov ki l'olam chastoy, for taking me to Uman this year. People may think one is crazy for saying such a thing. I didn't physically stand by the kever of Rabbi Nachman this year, although I had the schus to do that last year as well as the year before. I didn't physically have the privilege this year to say Tikkun HaKlali and give tzedakah and be right by Rabbi Nachman's kever and be there and be in the whole kibbutz with Rosh Hashanah. However, this year I have to say to Hashem, I made it to Uman in a way way more potent than I've ever made it before. I want to thank Hashem and thank all those that were part of the journey. Every tefillah, so many tefillahs, so many tikkun haklali, so much tzedakah, so many people contributing, so many in many different ways, so many people making challah, so many people taking on different things and just davening all the time. And again, we all went there together. I had the privilege to be the shaliach, to be the one to go in person. I had the visa, I had the passport. It was not easy to get off the ground here. And all those that joined together, we all went together. We all mamish had a chalek in this together, everybody in their own capacity. And I want to say thank you. And thank you to Hashem to explain in a few words, you know, this year going to Uman, there were so many manias, so many things trying to prevent. The cost of going to Uman, normally it's extremely expensive. This year it was more than double the normal cost, which at the start was just something very difficult to digest. And afterwards, just getting a flight out of South Africa was almost impossible. Trying every day, being told from travel agents, there's no flights, there's no flights, there's no flights. Suddenly, being told on the one day in the morning, yes, there might be a special repatriation flight. And then at about 1:30, when we had to be at the embassy to leave for the airport at 3, I was told it's impossible. Sorry, they said no, done, not happening. And then Hashem just put it in my mind just to make another call. And suddenly 15 minutes later, at about 1:45, there was another avenue that said, you know what, if you're in Pretoria, which is basically you have to leave in 15 minutes, if you'll be there in an hour, which it takes an hour to drive there, there might be a chance I'll let you on. We managed to pack somehow with Siyata Dishmaya, literally pack in 10 minutes and leave. And make it there just in time. Every single step of the way was mamish emunah. They didn't want to let me onto the bus at the embassy. Eventually they let me onto the bus. Then they didn't want to let me once we were at the airport, they didn't want to let me onto the plane there or through passport control, because they said they're not going to, you know, different things, they're not going to let you and whatever it is. Eventually they let me through. Each stage of the way was a tremendous emunah. Eventually going from there to another place to, you know, then once I arrived in Germany, to get from Germany to Kiev was itself a very, very big nisayon and a big hurdle to cross, because they were checking everybody, making sure you have a very, very good reason to come into Kiev. And eventually they allowed me to go there too. And finally I arrived all the way in Kiev, again, the entrance of the Ukraine. And I was almost, you know, I had somebody helping me there, giving me a special letter of invitation for something that I had to go do there. And it was legitimate and legal. And many of my friends who did such a thing got into Uman. Many did more and didn't get in, but many did this and did get in. And it was certainly a very valid hishtadlus. And when I was at passport control there, almost being let through, very almost, then pulling me to the side, and then again almost letting me through. And then at the last little minute, something else came up and they decided against it and sent me back to Frankfurt. Now at that point, when I went back to Frankfurt, I didn't know what to do exactly. I just felt Hashem put it in my heart. You know, I'm a Talmid of Rabbi Nachman, and he says, do whatever you can to come to Uman. We knew this is the last year before Mashiach. We know it was going to be hard this year to make it to Uman. And I decided, I've just got to get there somehow. You know, I've got to do whatever I can. Hashem made it easier for me that there wasn't time to come back to South Africa before Shabbos. So either way, I didn't want to. I wanted to make a plan to go. And there was two avenues for me to go in through Minsk. I had a friend again who had a certain contact with a governor there who had a way to allow me in legally. And that was potentially only going to be known the next morning, but I had to make my way there. And there was also a potential talk, even though it was all over the news that the borders were closed. One never knows suddenly when one dances and one says to Helium, and suddenly at last minute they decide they're going to open up the borders via Belarus, the borders there, and that was also another avenue. So I thought that's the right status to go there. There was nothing else. I made my way there and everything seemed fine. The contact that I had said, you know, that in the morning it was going to be fine and we were going to go through to Uman. It was an amazing opportunity. Anyway, I made my way to a little hotel there, and once I was at the hotel, I was exhausted from so much traveling. I went to bed, and the next morning when I woke up, I davened, I was ready to go, and then suddenly I spoke to him, and he said to me, unfortunately, you know, it fell through. He was very confident with it, but it fell through, that option. And as we know, the borders didn't open. I had suddenly then another contact, a different contact who I phoned, and he had really an amazing avenue through another country called Moldova, that if I could get a flight there, it was not far from there, he would be able to get me in also legally, legitimately, and I would have been able to go to Uman from that. And at that point, there was no more flights. There was no more flights before Rosh Hashanah. I would have arrived after Rosh Hashanah started. So at that point, there was absolutely nothing more to do. And I have to tell you, obviously, I landed up in Minsk for Rosh Hashanah, just besides the point. Minsk is where my grandfather was born, who I'm named after both my names. At the same time, Minsk is where my grandparents from my grandfather's side were killed in the Holocaust. What a tremendous, tremendous opportunity, you know, to go to a hotel and have to blow shofar myself in a forest and spend a lot of time in his bodirus and just connecting, you know, being with Rabbi, being very close to Hashem and being very close with Rabbi Nachman, even though I was not in proximity, actual physical proximity close. It was the most tremendous, tremendous experience on so many fronts, but that's besides the point. I want to say thank you to Hashem for the opportunity this year, for making such a shtadlus and for being in Uman this year. It's not about the result. That's what I just realized. Hashem gave me this amazing gift to realize that it's not about the result. It's mamish about the shtadlus. And thank you, Hashem, for giving me the incredible opportunity to have the rotzen this year and to be the shaliach who was zoiche out of all of us. You know, all of us that were doing the tefillahs and those that contributed financially and on many other levels. Hashem gave me the privilege to be the shaliach, to actually go in person. And as mentioned, last year I was zoicha to be in Uman, the year before in Uman, but this year was another madrega of going to Uman. A much, much higher level of being in Uman. I did everything I could to the best of my capacity that I knew. And getting to Uman this year for me, after doing everything, was impossible and not meant to be. Because I paid no attention to the statement of Oynes Rachman Apatre. I did everything I could until it was impossible. Obviously, one can't break halacha. And once it's Rosh Hashanah, one can't fly on Rosh Hashanah, obviously. And that's not the Ritzon Hashem. Once I was there and I was at the hotel, I was happy to the highest degree. I did everything I could. I was in Uman to the highest capacity. And all of us that went together, we were all there to the highest capacity. So thank you, Hashem. Hoidu l'Adonai ki tov, ki l'olam chasdoi. And thank you to each and every one of you that was a part of this. Such a tremendous chus, such a tremendous privilege that we all had to go together. And as mentioned, it's not, you know, some people perhaps feel, oh, you know, if we would have gotten there, then it would have been positive. Now the experience really wasn't positive. It doesn't work like that. We don't care about the result. Avraham Avinu, again, what was highlighted in his story was what his effort and energy, what he gave to the angels, even though the actual food that he gave to the angel was angels and the inspiration was meaningless. Because he was so passionate about it, that's what counted much more than actually what he did. And in that same sense, attempting to the highest degree, being in Uman physically this year, was much, much, much more in a sense than last year and the year before of actually being in Uman. Even though there was also Minyas and different things, but on no level, can't compare to the level of Minyas in this year. And I'm also speaking out just in a few short moments, the Minyas. There was much, much, much more. And much more Siyata Dishmai through the whole story, which can't be said on one foot. But it's a tremendously, tremendously holy time. And again, to highlight the principle of Rabbi Nosson on this Yortzeit of Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga, his neshamot should go to the highest hearts and his Torahs and avoidas Hashem, as Rabbi Nachman teaches always, the Ikar is the Lemaise. The Lemaise, both in Halacha as well as in Hashkafa. As well as, you know, there's many, many deep Torahs, but at the same time, to know practically what to do. How do I serve Hashem? Practically. And practically, to serve Hashem, we need to know that we don't know anything. Those that try to understand and believe that they understand Hashem's ways are always going to hit a brick wall and always going to be disappointed and will never ever be able to serve Hashem properly. We've got to have, as Rabbi Nachman highlights so many times, tmimus, complete simplicity in our avodas Hashem. And these few words, those who want to look it up in Hilchos Shiluach HaKen, Ois Hei, Rabbi Nosson's such a beautiful piece. He goes at length and explains both by Avraham Avinu and all the different, you know, all the many, many different proofs that he brings to this that we won't go into now. But such a beautiful yesod that we need to know she'ein yodim klal, we don't know anything. We know, of course, that we have to do Hashem's mitzvahs. We know that we have to connect to Hashem. We know that it's good to, we know that we have to do speak to Hashem in our own words. We know, and this, again, by the way, Rabbi Nachman highlights this, to have an hour of his bodhis every single day with Hashem. But many, many of the others, those who want sources, I'm very happy to share. The Chofetz Chaim, the Mesilas Yesharim, he says that there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than Mesilas Yesharim, says, than his bodhis. The Chofetz Chaim says, besides davening Shacharis Mincha Maariv every single day, a person must spend time in their own words, speaking to Hashem every single day, because Shacharis Mincha Maariv, as great as we can, as much kavanah as we can try have, we don't take them as seriously as we can, as they should be, because, you know, it's the same text every day. A person needs to speak to Hashem in their own words. Every great rabbi, I mean, wherever you want to go, we often speak about the machlokes between the Hasidim and the Litvisha world. I can tell you now, the Vilna Gaon, where it's all started from, he was, in our words, a chassid, what we're striving for. He would speak to Hashem a lot every single day. He would connect to Hashem a lot in every day. That machlokes and that fundamental, what was between them, certainly, I'm certainly not in the shoes to speak about that and to comment on that. But what I am in the shoes to comment on is that it's not for us to judge, and it's not really for us to in any way enter that discussion. All of them, every great rabbi, every great sage, was completely immersed in the Torah, was completely immersed in his bodhis with Hashem, was completely immersed in serving Hashem with a heart. It's an explicit Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu Liba Barer, Rachmana Liba Bai. Look in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Vav. That's, you know, the famous Gemara, that Hashem wants our heart, and that's really where we started off from, that we need to know that it's all totally on our rotzen, on what we actually desire to do, much more than what actually happens. And we need to remember the whole time that we don't understand anything about Hashem. It's too, one day we'll be zocheh to understand, but He, in His great wisdom and in His great kindness, chesed, and in His great rachamim, His mercy for us, this is the way He made this world, for many deeper reasons. We have some hints to it in the Zohar Kodesh in different places, what is going on a little bit, but we need to know that we don't base our emunah on any understanding whatsoever. We've got to come to a place of emunah pshuta, sincere faith in Hashem, based on our Torah, and based on those that teach us, based on the Talmid HaChachamim, based on the Tzadikim. Everything Rabbi Nachman's taught us, what a gift we have to come to Emunah Pshuta, what a gift that we have. We need to know that we don't understand anything about Hashem, nothing about the Torah, nothing about another Yid. When we see another Yid, we can't even fathom how great their tafkid is in this world. We can't even fathom ourselves. As Rabbi Nachman's Torah, I'm going to highlight also the famous Torah in Siman Resh Pei Beis that he brings in Nikutei Maharan, how we have to look at the Nikudos Toivos in ourselves and in other people. We've got to look at the good points in everyone around us. And when a person realizes how great Hashem is, and that really, in actuality, every single Jew is a piece of Hashem, how can we not just try our best to find the best in every Jew? How can we not try our best to really find the Nekudas Toivos, to try and make out, you know, if it was ourselves, we found a million reasons to justify what we did wrong. Of course, we've got to own our actions and do tshuva, whilst at the same time, we must move on and be happy and not let the Yetzer Hara put us in a place where we're unable to move on. So this is the fundamental Torah of Rabbi Nachman, too, both when it comes to other people as well as when it comes to ourselves. Of course, if we do something wrong, to do teshuva in it, you know, and to do teshuva for it and move on and learn from it. At the same time, to look for the good aspects, to look for so many things. Did a person sit in a sukkah? Do you know what it means to sit in a sukkah? Did a person say a kind word to someone else? Do you know what it means to say a kind word to someone else? And so many things which we don't have time to go into, but a person can imagine for themselves. So many things. Do we realize? Do we realize the Gemara says that for saying Amen, one person, for saying Amen once, the entire world would be created. That means a trillion galaxies with a billion stars inside each galaxy. The latest, one of the latest, as I heard from Rav Rieti, one of the latest telescopes found. I mean, that is a lot of stars. And it says Hashem gives each star a name, it calls in its name every day. And all that, in addition to everything else, would be created just for one yid, answering Amen one time. Do we realize the value of a mitzvah? Do we realize the value of every single Jew? We have to love everybody to the highest degree, and we have to love ourselves. And if we do something, we've got to be able to move on and be besimcha. As Rabbi Nachman taught us so much, mitzvah gdola liyot besimcha tamid. Such a great simcha it is, such a great mitzvah it is to always be besimcha. Just sharing a few points on this holy yahrzeit of Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga, and this should all be an aliyah for his neshama. And I also wanted to share this, the inspiration that I had from the story, from the whole experience that I had of attempting to go to Uman this year. And it's not just an attempt, I had a different realization. I mamish was zoche this year to be in Uman in a way that I've never, ever, ever been before. I didn't just attempt to go to Uman, I mamish was there, as we saw by Avraham Avinu. I'm going to share one more beautiful, beautiful Torah in the schus of Rabbi Nachman's yahrzeit. And this is a famous Torah, and Hashem gave me a beautiful, beautiful insight, inspiration to add on to this Torah. Please understand this, listen to this piece. And mamish, it's also a beautiful fundamental yesod to Yiddishkeit. This was actually the first three, about a little bit less than 3 years ago, when I was introduced to Rabbi Nachman's Torahs and Rabbi Nachman's way. The first Torah I learned in Likutei Moharan was the Torah in Siman Nun Beis that speaks about his boydidus. I wanted to start doing his boydidus. And the first person who taught me any Torah about Rabbi Nachman, he said to me, come, let's learn this piece. And I'll share briefly the Torah on three levels. First is a pshat of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, then Rabbi Nachman's Torah on it, and then an amazing insight that Hashem sent me to combine the two, which, if you listen carefully, it's so beautiful, a gift that Hashem sent me. Number one, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Haneor balayla, v'hamalech baderech yichidi, u'mefane libo levatala, harei ze mitchayev benafsho. A person who's awake at night, and he's walking on the way somewhere by himself. He's walking somewhere by himself at night. We know that night is a dangerous time, more than the day. And we know that being on one's own is dangerous, especially if one's in secluded places. This person is learning Torah, and we know the Torah protects one from all dangers. So he's on his own at night, but he's learning Torah. And what does he decide to do? He says, oh, I'm going to stop learning Torah now. Says the Mishnah, Harei ze mitchayev benafshoy. He is doing something dangerous that if he would be harmed, he deserves it. And he owns whatever damage is going to happen to him, it's his fault. And he'll have to give an accounting to that, to Hashem one day. If he gets damaged now, somebody attacks him, it's his fault. Because he was in a dangerous place at a dangerous time. And the only thing that was protecting him was the Torah Kedosha. The Torah Kedosha was protecting him. And he stopped learning the Torah. And because he stopped learning the Torah, now he's putting himself in danger. Therefore, mitchayev benafshoy. He is chayev. He's obligated for whatever happens to him. Now, Rabbi Nachman turns this on its head in such a beautiful pshat. And he turns the whole Mishnah that it's lishvach, that it's really mitchayev benafshoy is not a bad thing. And he says, haner balayla, somebody who's awake at night. Why is he awake at night? Because he's doing his boydidus with Hashem. Rabbi Nachman explains that the best time to do his boydidus with Hashem is at night, as well as when one's in places where nobody else goes, when one can be secluded on their own. So one's awake at night, v'amalech baderech yichidi, and he's walking on the way alone. He's walking alone on the way. He's not with other people, again, doing his boydidus with Hashem. And he's making himself battle to Hashem. Because we know, how do we become nullified to Hashem? How do we make our rotzen Hashem's rotzen? How do we come to a place that really all we're doing is completely for the sake of Hashem and not for our sake? By his boydidus, by speaking to Hashem, by asking him to help us, by thinking about things, by thinking about where can I improve, how can I get closer to Hashem, by asking Hashem very deeply to help us in all the different midas, by doing his boydidus is how we become battle to Hashem. So by being secluded at night and becoming battle to Hashem via that his boydidus, Hareze mitchayev benafsho. A person is mitchayev benafsho. What does it mean? He says, a person becomes connected to the mechuyav hametzius, meaning nobody had to be created in this world. Nothing had to be created in this world. Hashem could have created a completely different world. There's only one thing in this world that had to be created. And that is Hashem. Hashem had to be created. There was nothing to talk about. Now, when a person is disconnected from Hashem, and in a sense, on some degree, their own entity, and not connecting themselves to Hashem and not becoming bottled to Hashem, they are not mechuyev hametzius, meaning they didn't have to come into being. They could have come, Hashem could have created them, or he could have decided not to create them. However, when a person becomes bottled to Hashem and nullified to Hashem and completely connected to Hashem, they needed to come into being. They are Hashem now. They are a piece of Hashem. And just like Hashem needed to be created, we needed to be created when we connected to Hashem and bottled to Hashem. And therefore we categorize as mechuyav hametzius, harezi mitchayev benafsho. We needed to be created when we do his bodirus by being secluded at night. Of course, a person, they can't do it at night and they can't do it in a place secluded. One should do it wherever they can. But at the same time, when a person can do it in the most ideal way, and a person is at night secluded on their own and making their heart bottle to Hashem and making really their desires really what Hashem desires, they are really now mitchayev benafshoy, meaning they are connected to the mechuyav hametzius. They are connected to Hashem and they needed to come into being. It was obligatory for them to be created because they're a piece of Hashem now. Just like Hashem needed to be created, so too they needed to be created. And I'll share with you the amazing insight that Hashem sent me to understand the even deeper, this Torah even on a deeper level. And that is, we know that Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshutai, when it comes to saying something on a deeper level, the simple level is still there. And the two are certainly combined to some degree. So this Mishnah, which says that a person is mitchayev benafsho, he's obligated, that's saying something bad about him. That's saying, you know, he shouldn't have stopped learning Torah, and now because he did, mitchayev benafsho, he is chayev, he's obligated for any damage that happens to him. At the same time, the same Mishnah and the same words Rabbi Nachman is using to teach us that a person who does his bodirus with Hashem and becomes bottled to Hashem, they become so close to Hashem that they become a piece of Hashem, that they needed to be created. They are mechuyev hametzius. Now, Hashem sent me this piece to understand that these two pieces are combined together. Whenever we try to become really, really close to Hashem and bottled to Hashem, and really, really connected to Hashem on a really high level and completely bottled to Hashem, one has to realize that there is a bechina of the pshat of the Mishnah. And the pshat of the Mishnah is mitchayev benafsho. Sometimes it's going to be very, very difficult. Sometimes we might even get hurt. Just like the Mishnah says, mitchayev benafsho. We chayev to a certain degree. Doesn't mean we're doing the wrong thing because we're following the remez, or the drush of that we're saying that Rabbi Nachman's bringing to become battle to Hashem. But to realize that Hashem, we can't understand. Bereshis bara Elohim. Hashem wanted to create the world with din, meaning that din is actually higher than racha. Eventually he said, no, can't, the world won't withstand in this way, and therefore we have to add rachamim. But to know that the din is the highest of the ha, when a person is going through the highest challenges, one can never wish those things upon ourselves. And as the Maharal speaks out, why not? Because what we're worried that we're going to fail the challenge. However, when Hashem sends us the din, when we already sent the din and the challenge, we have to realize that that's the highest of the high. And what I'm trying to highlight is that when we try to get close to Hashem many, many times, there is din. And the din is the biggest hug from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the hardest of the hardest struggles come, especially when trying to get close to Hashem, we have to realize that that's the biggest hug and kiss from Hashem in the highest possible way. Of course, we don't understand that. And again, tying everything together, when we are able to live a life of realizing we don't understand anything about anything, but at the same time, realize that all we have to do is try to get closer to Hashem, and at the same time, realize that oines rachmana patre, we mustn't pay too much, we mustn't try exempt ourselves from mitzvahs and effort, and we just go, and when it's hard, and it gets harder and harder, and when it almost seems like Hashem's just slapping me in the face, I try sleep in the sukkah, but He rains on me, and I try to do this, but this happens. I try, you know, shake the lulav and esrog, but then I go to shul and see that it's tameh, it's puzzle the esrog, whatever it may be. I try go to Uman and I try, it's really, really hard in a way that's very uncomfortable. And then this challenge comes up. But we have to realize we don't understand Hashem's ways. And we have to realize to get close to Hashem and to become battle to Hashem many, many times has to be through the form of Elohim, of Din, of Rachamim, of, as we say now, of Mitchayev Benafsha, connecting the Pshat and the deeper Drush. When we realize that this is the way, this is Hashem's Ava for us, then we can close our eyes and not pay attention to what happens around us, because we know we don't understand. And we know that all we have to do is do the mitzvahs, follow Hashem's instruction, and try our best to become completely bottled to Him. I encourage anybody and everybody, Bezrat Hashem, who I'm sharing this with, to this Heilige Day of Chol HaMoed, to do something for Hashem, to do something for the Heilige Chol HaMoed, and to do something for the Heilige Neshama of Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feiga, to uplift his Neshama and to give the Neshama more kach, to spread light into this world, as Rabbi Nachman says, Ha'esheli Tukadat Be'az Mashiach, that is, his fire and his light is going to shine bright until the coming of Mashiach. I encourage everybody to just take one thing, whatever one can in their capacity, to learn a little piece of Torah, to say Tikkun HaKlali, to perhaps, if one can, take something on for the halachas of Chol HaMoed, to be more strict in whatever way one can, to do it more appropriately, to take on another mitzvah, to be more besimcha. To me, be more besimcha. We don't realize what a mitzvah it is, just to sometimes, you know, be besimcha in ourselves, to encourage another yid in whatever way one can. And on that note, I would like to wish everybody a good moed, a moedim lesimcha, and everybody should, Bezrat Hashem, have an amazing Yom Tov. Everybody should be zoiche to have a chelek in these beautiful Torahs and in this beautiful way. And I ask Hashem that these Torahs and this message should be received in the right way from everybody listening, Bezrat Hashem. Anything that I've said, if it has come directly from Hashem, I asked Hashem to help me to say it in the right way. And of course, if there's any mistakes, then that's my own mistake. But at the same time, any schus that I've had in saying this Torah and this inspiration, in this little talk that Hashem has given me, has come from completely from Hashem. A good moed, everybody, and a chag sameach. Thank you for listening.